Hey there guys, it's Dr. George here from thehealthybear.com, and today I'm very fortunate to have a good mate on the phone, Mark, who has kindly agreed to share a little bit of his story with the readers. And perhaps, it's a bit of an un well, I don't know whether it's an unusual story, but it's not the typical story, and I thought it might be a really nice change to be able to share some of the diversity that's within our community. So, Mark, thank you very much for coming on board.
No worries, you're welcome.
Excellent. So, Mark, can you tell us a little bit about you?
I'm 45 years old, recently single, after a 22-year marriage to a woman, three gorgeous daughters and one granddaughter.
Oh, how wonderful. You must be a proud dad.
I am.
So, you were in a what I suppose a traditional straight marriage. Okay, and 22 years is a significantly long time. I suppose the question is what changed? What happened that led to you making quite a dramatic change?
Well, I guess it was. I guess I've always been gay. I went through a long period of denial, particularly in my youth. I had ultra conservative parents. I had a tremendous, a horrible childhood. I was put into children's homes at the age of 10, and so sort of raised in institution, I guess. So when I came to being released from state care, I was basically on my own. And then my family decided to try and initiate contact once again. So I was trying to gain their approval all at the same time, I guess. So I met my wife in Army Reserves and tried to be normal, I
Okay.
guess, for want of a better word.
So there was
And
pressures on you
yeah.
to conform to a heterosexuality kind of picture.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So my brother and sister, they were married, and the expectation then was that I would meet someone and get married and all that sort of stuff as well. And trying not having approval for so long, I sort of did whatever I could to gain that, and that included getting married. And I was in a big period of denial, so I sort of thought, well, maybe marriage will cure me, because I guess there was no support networks back then. There was no one I could talk to. So I felt that I had to conform and I had to do what everyone else did.
Okay, how did that leave you?
It wasn't easy. I mean, I'd played around, and I've had gay liaisons and all that sort of stuff in my early youth, so and in my and in my late teens. But I guess because it was so, wrong, so to speak, I thought there was something wrong with me, I guess.
Okay, so in sort of like that must be an awful thing to have to carry, is that innate sense of that something isn't sitting right or something's I'm not quite sure of the word really, but how did you feel? Like 22 years in a relationship, did you feel like it was not right for you, or did you feel pressured to stay in that situation, or?
Well, I guess by the time the kids came along, I was very much, I felt I had to do the right thing by them and be, the best dad I could be and the best husband I could be. And so I sort of, that became my goal and I put all my feelings aside, although they were still there and, you can't control your dreams and you dream about things. It was a matter of I just had to repress that. And it wasn't easy. I mean, crumbs. I kid you not. It wasn't easy, and it was difficult. But I felt that I was also trapped. I didn't have the choice. Once I'd sort of cast that stone and I'd got married and I had kids, I didn't have a choice anymore.
Okay, so obviously something has changed though. So what was it that led to you making such a huge decision after 22 years to make a change?
I guess It's funny. It's stupid the way some things sort of really stick with you. There's that one song from I Am What I Am.
Yep.
And I heard that and it was like, crumbs, that's me. And especially the words, you know, your life's not worth a damn until you can say I am what I am. I needed to acknowledge who I was and what I was. I couldn't. It was really, really eating at me. And I guess the advent of technology, it was easy to get online and look at porn and, you know, and then all of a sudden along come, you know, phones with apps like Scruff and Grindr and stuff like that. And it just became so easy to fall into that and become what I was. So then I was like living two lives, which was a nightmare.
It's kind of interesting that a song, I Am What I Am, which is an iconic gay song, it was the thrust that pushed you into exploring more of, you know, your homosexual feelings, I suppose, which I think is really cool. I think it's really cool because that's such an awesome song. So you, with the advent of Scruff and that similar apps, it meant that access to stuff that you desired more was easier.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I had the opportunity, here it was, I had someone that I could talk to, people that understood and, you know, that I started to realise that there wasn't something wrong with me, that, you know, this was who I was. And I could be who I wanted to be, but it was going to be, you know, a really, really hard decision. And I went and, you know, through advice from guys that I'd spoken to on Scruff and Grindr, I went and spoke to, they put me on to the Men's Sexual Health Centre, and I went there and spoke to one of the counsellors, and it was the first time that I'd ever said the words, I'm gay. And it was so hard. Two little words, who would have thought it would have been so hard to say?
And what did it feel like after you said them?
It was an incredible sense of relief that here was someone that I could be totally myself with. You know, I made a really, really close friend on Grindr, and I'm still great friends with them today. We talk on Skype almost every day. And... you know, it was someone that I could absolutely connect with. You know, I could say whatever I wanted without fear or favour and non-judgmental or anything like that. And I was thinking, crumbs, if only I could live my life like this all the time.
So you basically came into a situation where you were offered and able to have unconditional love. And whether or not it was sexual is irrelevant. It's about the fact that you were being valued for exactly who you were.
Exactly, and it was something that I'd never known before. You know, it was like I wasn't having to put on the pretense and be, you know, Mr. Straight and pretend to ogle at boobs and all that sort of stuff, and you know, just to be able to say what I wanted and be what I wanted, and so I continued the counselling with them, and then I went on to a psychologist and we basically set a plan in place of, you know, so we've got to set a date and work towards coming out rather than just talking about, wishing about it.
Okay. So I imagine that, you know, it would be a very, very difficult situation to have been with a partner for 22 years and to have an existing family. That must have been an excruciatingly painful and perhaps difficult thing to do. It was,
and I went into a period of where I was being incredibly destructive in the relationship. It was almost like I was trying to destroy the relationship. I was trying to get her to hate me and walk away so that I wouldn't have to, you know, go through the pain of coming out and all that sort of stuff. And I was drinking heavily and I was behaving badly and not caring and that was really coming across and it was hurting them and I realised, you know, it's got to stop. I'm destroying it all the wrong way.
Yep. And I suppose sometimes it's easier to push away than it is to pull forward, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I was trying to put the onus on them rather than on myself.
Yeah. So I don't imagine it was a simple conversation, and I don't imagine it was a single conversation. What supports did you have around you to make it easier for you?
Well, by that stage, I'd gotten to know some really nice fellas, and particularly, you know, I'd gone to the Laird a couple of times, and for the first time, I felt a part of something. I felt included. You know, places like the Laird really made me feel like I belonged somewhere. And you know, apart from, you know, having to duck behind someone every time there was a camera around, it was for fear of being, you know, in some publication. It whenever I was there, I felt like a part of something, and the guys there really made me feel welcome, and the whole Bear community, you know, was just amazing.
So, yeah, just for the non-Melbourne listeners in the room and readers, the Laird is one of the... It's sort of like a leather slash bear slash, you know, guy bar in Melbourne, and it's probably one of the more laid-back bars in town. So, you know, it's wonderful that you were able to have that space that made you to feel welcome, and, you know, that's awesome to be able to be in a situation where you're feeling good about yourself.
Yeah, and it was really good that I knew then that once I'd made the transition, I had support networks and people there that you know were going to be there for me and all that sort of stuff. And you know, particularly my friend, you know, he helped me through so much of it that it made that a little easier. And look, I mean, crumbs, it was not the easiest thing in the world to do. I mean, to tell your partner, because as she said, it's like you've died but you're still hanging around.
Yep.
And it was incredibly difficult for her, and I told her about 3 weeks before we told the kids, because my middle daughter at the time was doing VCE studies, and I didn't want to do anything that would impede her studies, so I wanted to wait until she finished her final exam before announcing it to them.
And how did your kids take it?
Oh, it was a nightmare. I sat them down around the kitchen table, and I walked into the room, and I just burst into tears. I couldn't speak. I kept trying to compose myself, and they were all looking at me thinking, what, is he dying of cancer? What? And I'm trying to get it out because I didn't want them to sort of think that. And then when I finally said it, it was absolutely amazing. They were so incredibly understanding, and that was my biggest fear, particularly the eldest one, because she can be very judgmental. And, you know, it was incredible. You know, my youngest daughter came and put her arm around me, and it really was amazing. And we'd organised that I would move out that night, and we hadn't cooked dinner that night because we didn't know whether anyone was going to feel like eating. And, you know, the middle daughter turns around and says, so what's for dinner? And I said, I don't know, takeaway. And she said, well, what do gay people eat? And the eldest one, quick as a pip, turned around and said, fruit. So that sort of really eased the tension, and then we were able to sort of, you know, go into it and explain, you know, I was able to explain that, you know, it's something that I've lived with my whole life, and it wasn't just a decision I'd made.
Wow, what an absolutely incredible journey. For somebody that may be in a similar situation to yours, can you recommend any resources that you found helpful?
Oh, certainly. Look, I mean, if there's a mental health, particularly in the queer field, or someone that's got counselling with that sort of experience, certainly go and talk to someone. I mean, the great thing about the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre is that you can be totally anonymous, and I was for the first. You know, for the first couple of months, they didn't know my real name, but it was being able to discuss it and talk about it and have them say, well, you know, I mean, you are who you are and you need to be who you are, was just amazing. And then getting that, and they were able to put me onto all sorts of groups and help groups and things like that, which just made it so much easier. And you've got to have some sort of a backup plan, because, I mean... The day it happened, I moved out, you know, so I'd found a house on GayShare through gayshare.com.au, which was a great site for the gay and lesbian community to, if they've got a spare room that they want to rent out. So,
okay.
Yeah, I had somewhere that I could go, and as it turned out, the guy I moved in with went through exactly the same thing I went through 2 years earlier, so I had great support from him. But you've got to have support levels there. You've got to have people around you that, because when you come out, you're alone. You know, they've got each other that they can sort of cry on each other's shoulders and discuss, but here I was sitting in an empty house with nothing.
Were there any internet groups or sites that you found useful?
Not that I found. I mean, there probably is, but I guess I didn't do enough research that I possibly could have. And, you know, that's the great thing about technology today is that all this stuff is available and, you know, take advantage of it and get yourself some sort of circle of friends that are going to be there for you when you come out.
Absolutely. And I hope that this recording may be something that other men who are attracted to other men but are in heterosexual relationships may find useful as well.
I mean, that was the thing. I thought it was just me. You know, I didn't realise just how many guys there were out there that were in the same boat as me, that had gone through the same thing and that, you know, could give advice. You're wrapped up in your own little world and you think it's just you, and it's not.
That's amazing. So do you have any final words for anybody out there that may be listening who are on the same wavelength as you?
So, look, I mean, I guess all I can say is at some point you've got to say, you know, like I did, you know, crumbs, I'm 45 years old. Nobody knows who I really am, and when do I get to be myself? When do I get to be me? And it's not fair to your partner, because they're expecting, you know, a long life together and, you know, retirement and all that sort of stuff and all these plans. You've got to be yourself. Everyone, as you've only got so long on this earth, why pretend to be something that you're not?
Absolutely. Mark, that has been absolutely amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put this recording up on the website, and there is going to be some space underneath for people to be able to share their thoughts and comments. So I'm hoping that if it's okay with you, if you could stop by every now and then and just see if there's anyone that may have a message for you.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be fantastic.
That would be
great.
Happy
to help.
Thank you very much. You're
more than welcome.
Have an awesome day.
Okay, you too.
See you, mate. Bye.